Before we get to all the sports, and there's a lot of sports to discuss, Joe Shane deserves to win an Emmy. Did I break Citi Field etiquette last night? And the New York Yankees continue to struggle. Before we get to all of that, if you like the summer, what the hell is wrong with you? This weather, this humidity, the disgustingness, the sweatiness. What's wrong with you people that everybody loves the summer? The summer sucks. And if you don't believe me, step outside.
It's just a little heat.
A little heat.
It's all good. Dude. I actually think it's partly responsible for the Yankee swoon.
They played in a dome yesterday.
It doesn't matter. I got to find some excuse. There's got to be something. It's too hot outside.
Dude, I have come to a conclusion I don't want to come to. It's not a conclusion I come to very often. I don't like to throw around what I'm about to say. And many of you out there may have already come to this conclusion. But for me, July 9th, 2024 was the moment where I definitively could say that Carlos Rodon cannot pitch in New York City.
What do you
and
mean?
He can't pitch here.
You mean this is a pressure thing? This is like Joey Gallo not being able to hit in New York City.
This is Joey Gallo. This is Ed Whitson. There's a long list of guys who just can't play here. By the way, Tiki, you can reveal some names because I'm sure there are guys you played with that you know couldn't play here.
Right. But I also don't think that Carlos Rodon is affected by the pressure of being in New York.
Completely disagree with you.
But there's no evidence of that. The fact that he can't place his fastball, or at least there's no movement on his fastball, so when he does, it just kind of floats right in the middle of the plate. And yeah, there's some velocity, but you're a major leaguer. You can hit fastballs. And so to me, I think he's just misguided in how he's pitching. Like, he's a power pitcher. We know what he was brought here for. It's the reason he got paid. Because if you can rear back and hit 98 and it's got some movement on it, there's not a lot of guys that are going to hit home runs off of you. That's what he made his wares on. That's what he got paid to come here to do. And for whatever reason, maybe it's the sicky stuff or lack thereof. I've been on this for 2 weeks now. He can't get movement on his fastball. And so guys just sit there and tee off on it. It happens every single one of his starts. The rest of the start is okay. Now, he only went four innings.
Why is the rest of his starts okay?
Because he starts figuring out how to pitch.
Or the pressure's off. Or he's buried his team down 4-1, and it's like, oh, gee, I can relax. Like, there is evidence, and I'll lay it out for you right now. And again, I hate doing this because there have been many times where guys have come here, they have struggled, and this is a natural debate we have on WFAN and we have on Sports Talk Radio, which is that guy can't play here. I remember doing it over Sonny Gray. Mm-hmm. I remember doing it over Jay Bruce when he was a Met. Like, this is a very common, can you handle New York discussion? And I swear to you, more times than not, I'm on the side of the athlete of, well, there are reasons why a guy is struggling. But here's the evidence, and I want to lay it out to you on why I am convinced.
Maybe you can convince me.
Okay. I think that, A, he has been automatically struggling in shutdown innings. In the innings where it's a little bit more important because your team either just gave you a run, like last night with Gleyber Torres, or your team just gave you a lead, or it's the first inning and it's, hey, let me take a deep breath and get through this first inning like a few weeks ago against Toronto. And then it's like once the pressure's off, once the lead is gone, once I'm down by 4 or 5 runs, he can relax. He can take it easy. So number one, his complete ineffectiveness early in games and in shutdown innings. That's number one.
Yeah.
Number two. And this goes back to his days in San Francisco. There is a viral video from his days in San Francisco in which he was so angry and so pissed off as he walked into the dugout, he kicked, I think, a bat. And the bat, like he's a soccer player, went right into the body of Tyro Estrada. And Wilmer Flores, the former Met legend, came over and was like, dude, what the hell's going on?
All right, punch a cooler. Don't
we saw him last night losing his cool. We saw him last year and this year acting like a big giant baby when Aaron Boone wants to take him out of a game. We saw him doing the kiss a year ago in Anaheim to Yankee fans. We saw him crying in a dugout a week ago.
First of all, the blowing a kiss thing was to a specific fan who was trolling him and he just wanted him to have it.
But he reacted.
Well, he reacted, and that's stupid because you can't let your emotions get the best of you. But what you just said proves knows that it's not New York. He acted this way in Chicago. He acted this way when he was in San Francisco. Like, he is just an emotional dude.
But you know what the difference is? You're right. The way he's acting is the same. But sometimes when you feel the heat and you feel the pressure and you feel the contract and you feel the eyeballs and you feel the booze, it's different. That kind of stuff doesn't work as well when you're doing it in New York City and all eyes are on you.
Well, it doesn't work when you're not good, right? You can be as big a jerk as you want.
Mm-hmm.
If you're good, people are still going to love you.
Sure.
That's the reality of performance, of entertainment, and sports in particular. And so I think Carlos Rodon has a dependency issue. He has a dependency to when he gets in these moments where he thinks he can just throw the ball past guys, and he just can't. It happens every game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a moment in every game where he does the exact same thing. So to me, is this a pitching coach issue? Is this a catcher issue? But every single game, there's one or two throws or two at-bats where he just loses it.
Yeah.
And then he stabilizes.
Exactly. Exactly. And you just laid out all the possibilities of what it is, but you're leaving one out. A pressure issue. He reeks of a guy that just can't deal with the pressures and the burden of the contract, of the pinstripes, of the city. And look, he wouldn't be the first, and he won't be the last. Like, it's happened before.
I know what you're saying, and the evidence actually backs you up.
Thank you.
Right? It just says that you are correct. But, I mean, when Carlos Rodon first got here, PT and I had him on the show. It was awesome. Like, we just got him the first day he was here. And after that conversation, I remember saying, this dude is going to be awesome for New York.
Agreed with you. I heard the interview. I heard what he said in press conferences. And everything he said, whether it was you with you and BT, whether it was after he got injured and said, October is the only thing that matters, he reeked of a guy who could play here.
Yes.
And guess what? Guess what? We were all wrong.
Well, I think it hasn't been ideal. Obviously, last year, he was hurt, and then he struggled, and then he was fighting to maybe live up to the contract a year ago, and that's why he probably was pitching when he was not fully 100%. This year, there was no excuse. And by the way, when he started the season, we said, this is exactly what you paid for, right? But then all of a sudden, something happened. Something happened right around that Edwin Diaz sticky stuff situation where the Yankee pitchers, all of them and others around the league, just started to lose control. They started to lose some dominance. Now, maybe it is the crackdown on sticky stuff or you're just being smart. Maybe it is the summer heat, right? It's hot as hell here in New York, and emotionally that affects you. And go work out outside and tell me how you emotionally feel when you're done. Now, I'm not making these excuses, but I'm just trying to find a reason why the guy who we saw at the beginning of the season now all of a sudden has no movement on his fastball, which still has velocity, but it's not doing anything. It's basically just sitting on a tee for some of these guys.
I'll give you the reason. Because I appreciate we're trying to get the answer here. We're trying to ask questions. So let's look back now at the last five starts, because that's what this is.
Mm-hmm.
These are five horrendous starts in a row. And
Terrible.
You're going to notice something. And you're going to say it's a coincidence, and I'm going to say it's backing me up that he can't deal with the pressure.
Okay.
His last really good start was against the Kansas City Royals. Mm-hmm. Remember when the Yankees were rolling? They won the first three games of that series in the middle of June. Well, Carlos Rodon pitched seven innings. He allowed one run. He was utterly brilliant. The next start that he made, the one that began all of this, was in Boston against the Red Sox. You know what happens in Boston when you face the Red Sox?
What?
Pressure.
Well,
you walk in a Fenway Park with the pinstripes on you, there's a different kind of pressure. And that game where he gave up three runs in the first inning, then the Yankees answered and scored two runs. And it's like, oh, okay, they're back in the game.
And
you know how he responded? He gave up two more runs.
Right, but the same thing happened in this game. Let's not forget the Yankees got within a run.
I understand. I get you. Okay, and he was out of the game after 4 minutes.
He was out of the game. Of course, he was out of the game at that point.
But in this particular game, the beginning of the stretch, stay with me on this because it's going to prove my point. It's easy. It started when the pressure began. They go to Boston. Everything's fine. He gives up three runs in the first inning. He gives up two runs in the second inning.
Yeah.
He loses. And since that moment, that innocuous game in Boston, that was sign number one that Carlos Rodon can't wear the pinstripes.
Hmm.
He can't carry the heat. And from that moment on, That's the line of demarcation. His next start was against Atlanta. He gave up 8 runs in 3 2/3 innings. His next start was against Toronto. He got chased, got bombed in the first inning. That's when he settled down. Great. Mm-hmm. He settled down. The game was out of hand. They were getting their ass kicked. And that's what continued the snowball effect. So, look, you could argue it's a coincidence, but here are the facts. This all started when the pressure started to build.
Yeah.
And that's a sign of a guy that can't play here.
Well, yeah, but you can also learn how to play here. And Carlos Rodon, in my mind, has the mentality to not care. You know what I mean? He feels like that kind of player that can easily block out noise, and because he's not mean, but he has this like aggressiveness about him that just basically says, screw what you're saying, I'm just going to go do my job. And I feel like he does that. It's just one or two at-bats. It happens every game. So to me, that's not he's caving to the pressure. It's he's not confident on how to get certain guys out. And I don't know where that comes from. Is it preparation? Is it a lack of having, you know, good enough grip on a ball so it's not the spin rate is down? We actually should look at his spin rate. Mm. Look at the difference between what his spin rate was at the beginning of the season when he was pretty nasty to what it is now, where it seems flat, all of these fastballs, despite the velocity. So for me, it's not a pressure situation that's causing him to fail. It's an execution issue that's causing him to fail. Because, like, you saw it last night. He gives up the home run in the first inning, and all of a sudden it's like, all right, he looks good. If you delete that first inning, Carlos Rodon was pretty good.
You can't delete
the first inning, but
because the first inning also removes that kind of pressure. You had a 1-0
lead. You're right.
Lead.
You're not wrong. And again, I will say this 15 times a day. You are not wrong. Like if I was a lay follower of baseball or the Yankees, and you said that to me, it makes sense. Mm. It would make sense to me. But knowing who Carlos Rodon is and knowing what he's about, I can't make that assumption. To me, it's just, I feel like he's lost in certain moments. Not he can't play in New York. It's just certain moments get away from him, and it pisses him off, and he has to emotionally stabilize himself, which, by the way, he does.
If you want to give him credit for getting through the second, third, and fourth inning so they didn't have to go to the bullpen in the first inning, great. I guess you give him credit. He settled down and won four.
Last year, there was a – when was that? What was the game that he didn't get out? Remember Susan
it was his last about? Start of last year.
Right. He didn't get out of the – didn't get recorded out.
Yeah, but that can't be the bar.
No.
The bar can't be, hey, he recorded an out. Look, a lot of guys have come here with big contracts. Mm-hmm. And a lot of guys have come here and have not been as good as maybe we thought they were. And in a lot of cases, sometimes it's just you bought a guy past 30. And they didn't succeed here. And sometimes there are reasons for why you don't succeed here. I've never been a believer that the only reason a free agent won't succeed here is the pressure of New York.
Yeah.
But to me, watching him, and this is not something I came to the conclusion on 3 starts ago, maybe a lot of you guys did. And if that's the case, I'm late to the party. What do you want me to tell you? In fact, I think I remember defending him in the start he made against Boston. But then it starts to build. Then you see the way he struggled against Atlanta and the way he got pounded in the first inning. Or not pounded, he had a lot of bad luck against the Blue Jays in the first inning. And you see what happened last night against Tampa. And you see the way he acts. Like, sometimes the way you act says a lot about you. He's given you tears. He's given you anger. It's like he's trying to show you every single emotion show how mad he is.
But to me, that's frustration. That's not lack of, that's frustration. Like, I don't know what's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I can't figure this out. No matter what I'm trying to do, and I'm rearing back and I'm throwing it as hard as I can, nothing is working. To me, when you start crying, it's frustration. That happened to me. I told you, you've heard the story of the Philadelphia game in 2000. I forget what year it was. It was the end of the season. We had to win it to get in the playoffs, and I fumbled 3 times.
Mm.
But I also rushed for 200 yards. Right. So it was like this frustrating, like, we're so good and we should be destroying them, but I keep screwing it up type of thing. And after that, I cried. Right, and it's an overwhelming of emotion because he's both really good, but also terrible.
It's
you're confused.
I get it. I'm not ripping him for crying. I wasn't bothered when he cried. It's the fact he's giving you everything, whether it's throwing an iPad, whether it's being mean and disrespectful to the manager, whether it's being stupefied, he's being taken out of a game. He's giving you everything, every single emotion. And I watch him, and here's the problem. I watch him and I see a guy that can handle New York City. I don't think he can. And Brian Cashman, to his credit, has always been honest about this. Years ago, he came out and admitted to all of us, Sonny Gray can't pitch in New York, right, and I'm going to trade him. And he did. And look, there's a debate on if it was New York or if it was pitch selection. Either way, what happens to Sonny Gray when he leaves New York?
Yeah.
He's pretty good.
Yeah, but
the Yankees
wasn't
are
that
stuck.
Also something to do with his pitch coach? And,
yes.
Right?
And that's the debate on it.
Like,
absolutely.
Like, you can only throw this.
Yes.
And he's like, I don't really want to throw that ball.
Hey, Teak, my opinion, right. I'm only speaking for myself, I've never was convinced Sonny Gray couldn't pitch in New York.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a believer in that. So I'm not quick to kind of use that
right.
excuse to explain why a player is struggling. I'm just using my eyes and my brain to watch what's going on. And honestly, one of the things that's always pissed me off as a baseball fan is the guy who has the inability to get the shutdown inning. The guy who has the inability in that inning that's just a little bit bigger than others
yeah.
to get those big outs. It's
right.
part of why I hated Tom Glavine when he was a Met.
Right.
He never did it.
You
right?
got to be able, if your team gives you an advantage, you got to be able to keep it.
No doubt.
And what you're saying, and this is why I agree with you, but I don't believe you. This is why this is why Carlos Rodon feels like he can't play in these pressure situations. I don't think that has anything to do with New York, by the way. I think it may be just pressure situations. In these pressure moments against in must-win type situations, he always gives up the big hit. Always.
Is this a New York issue facing Carlos Rodon? Is it something else? Plus, I have been very loyal in remaining not overly worried about the New York Yankees. They are now 6-17. when does the calmer Yankee fan start to panic and say, uh-oh,
yeah.
maybe we're wrong.
They're another game closer.
We'll get to it coming up, 888-808-1019. Plus, why did Saquon Barkley agree to have a private conversation with Joe Shane, allowed to be aired on TV, and something we will replay coming up at around 3 o'clock? We'll try to figure it all out, Evan and Tiki.